Apache Brothers.
And this is StoryTap,
where my brother and I try to tap the potential of a story by taking it all the way from concept to fully fledged pitch.
This episode,
Peche, our take on the Studio Ghibli style story about the preservation of nature set against more of a Mediterranean background.
Say that again? What did you say?
I got the ultimate pitch. Fish movie. A movie about fish. Hasn't been a great movie about fish since Finding Nemo. Unless you count Shark Tale. And I do, because that was the greatest fish movie ever made. Fish.
Objectively. I was going to say objectively wrong.
Oh, right. Well, I guess there was Finding Dory, but that's an extension of Finding Nemo. Which is not quite as good as Finding Nemo, but is quite good.
Yeah.
Fish.
So we're making a movie about fish. That is the idea. Is it going to be a fiction feature?
About fish? Yes. A fiction feature. A fictional fish feature. For anyone listening to this, this is the lost episode 2 of dubious sound quality and horrible content.
Yeah, indeed.
We're going to talk about this. So.
No, I'm just thinking about the sound quality now.
Right. Okay, that's fine. Terrible. It sounds terrible, and it's fine. There's a literal fucking towel on the microphone.
Yeah, there is. So, a fictional movie. It's a fictional feature-length fish movie. Is the main character a fish?
Yes.
This is your movie.
This is my movie.
I took control last time, and I always, like, command everything, but this is yours.
I don't want to drive.
The command.
I'm putting gas in the car.
And I'm sneaking
a beer at the station.
I'm an illustration in Anyone Can Cook, and you are Remy the Ratatouille.
So I'm controlling an unexplained American? Alright.
Expat.
Was that Linguini's thing? He was very American. Never mind.
Everyone spoke English. It's whatever.
I know, but they all spoke with French accents.
But, like, the movie released in France, like, in French, and everybody was like, yeah, Linguini is French, and we're like, you know?
Yeah.
Movies made for American audiences are so weirdly localized. We basically, like, pick and choose other cultures to be, like, our playground, and God forbid the woke people out there don't find that out and start questioning it, because it's so much fun! I mean, Yu-Gi-Oh, dude. I watched,
You know, Yu-Gi-Oh! Is an anime. It was made in Japan.
No, I know, but, like, when we localized it for, what was that, 4Kids?
Yeah.
The channel was 4Kids.
Yeah.
The number 4Kids, right?
Kids, yeah, 4Kids. Kids WB. There's, like, a juggling act going on there.
That was crazy. But when we localized that, anime is a beast, an entirely different beast, so maybe I won't go too into detail. But, like, we made up the Shadow Realm. That wasn't for American audiences. That was specifically for kids. In the original Yu-Gi-Oh, if you lose, you just die. Which I thought was fucking raw. But anyway, like, the dialects, there are so many dialects in Japanese. I got so off track, I don't know why I brought it up. But so, when we make movies for American audiences, we say, like, oh, we want them, it's a movie about cooking. It's a movie about becoming, like, a great chef. He's a rat, whatever, blah, 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 blah. We'll put it in France instead of just being, like, you know, oh, he's just a rat from, like, you know, the West Coast or the East Coast. And that's another thing, is America has a bunch of different cultures all over.
That's true.
And, like, France has... I'm not going to get into why... I'm not going to trash talk France for 20 minutes. But American movies are dope. Because we say, like, meanwhile, in, like, you know, China, if the movie, if we had one scene in China, it would be, like, It's for American audiences. The movie takes place in America, but we have some scenes that happen in China. They're going to speak Chinese, whether Mandarin or whatever, depending on where they are, and then we're going to have subtitles there. But if it's a movie for American audiences, written by that I mean like made by an American, usually, then we're going to have everyone speak English and maybe have a Chinese accent. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And American audiences are like, yeah, it's a movie, it's not real. But like, if you were to do that, if you were to make, if a Chinese person was going to make a movie for Chinese audiences, and you know, the whole thing took place in America, first of all, no one would watch that, because actually, that's a pretty bold statement. I assume no one would have watched that for reasons I can't even explain myself.
A movie where everybody spoke Chinese, but it took place in America?
Yeah.
They did that. Detective Chinatown 2.
What?
Yeah. It's a Chinese movie.
I love it. I need to see
that. It was like the 8th most grossing film in China that year. It's a Chinese movie. Oh my
gosh, I need to write that
down. And they have like 12 Americans.
Detective Chinatown 2?
2, yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome. Yeah. Detective Chinatown 2. Okay, it's written down.
Yeah, we're gonna have to forget about that.
This just became an episode about localization. Oh, so the fish movie.
So the fish movie, where all of the fish are French for some reason.
Okay. It's about a fish who wants to be a chef.
A chef. A fish chef.
Yes, indeed. No, but this is your movie. You want to make a fish movie, or do you have an idea for a movie? This is just your episode.
Don't do that, man. I don't want to do that. I don't have an idea.
Okay.
I just...
You gotta have some idea.
I was making a joke about making a fish movie, and you started recording.
Well, let's make a fish movie, then.
Well, let's make a fucking fish movie. Fine. Okay.
Is the it... fish.
He's upset because he's racist.
Before,
no.
Whoa.
He's upset.
Before we decide anything, is it a kid's movie? Is it, well, not specifically, is it a kid's movie, but what is, like, the tone? What is the rating, I suppose? PG?
PG.
PG-13?
PG.
Okay. And it's gonna be animated, I trust? Because if anybody ever tells me to make a live-action movie where the main characters are fish, I'm just gonna punch them in the throat.
Yeah, I would have to assume.
Because, you know, those movies where it's like the main character is an animal, but like there are people in the movie, and the people are live action, so it's like, like the main character is like a dog, and but like he's the only dog in the movie, then all the people are live action, and the dog is CG. I hate that stuff.
That's horrible.
It's terrible every time.
No, I thought you were just, like, talking about taking a camera down into the ocean and trying to get the fish to act. Which, oh, honestly, sounds,
oh,
like, way more fun.
Oh my gosh, I just had
the best
idea.
It could be, like,
the
ultimate
idea.
Experimental film project.
No, exactly. I just had the best idea for a terrible movie.
Okay.
You do, this is what we're doing. You do the live-action, like, BS CG movie. But the main character isn't a dog. It's not a wolf. It's not like a lion or anything. It's a fish.
Okay.
It is a fish. And all of the scenes with the fish in it, you have to, like, get a scuba diver with a camera just to get some, like, footage of the ocean. And then, like, the fish comes up and he's CG and he's like, oh, gosh. Okay. Holy. We're doing this now.
Okay.
We're doing this now.
You heard it here first, folks. We are doing a bad movie on purpose.
This is going to be great. Okay. What was that? Ponyo.
I remember Ponyo.
Have
never
you seen
saw it?
No, me neither. I don't know what happens in Ponyo.
Who gives a shit at the Studio Ghibli movie? I just made some enemies.
Okay, it's a Studio Ghibli movie. I haven't seen any Studio Ghibli movies.
Really?
But I know for a fact that...
You can miss, give them a miss. I don't like them. More enemies.
Well, they're beautiful.
Yeah.
And they always have, like, a really wholesome message behind them.
Sure.
Albeit a little simple. But, like, the world is always complicated enough that you don't realize that it's just basically spelling out, like, don't litter, don't pollute every time. From what I've been told, again, I haven't seen any of these movies. But Ponyo, I imagine, from what I've seen and what I've projected onto it, it's about a boy who's friends with, like, a fish girl? A fish that turns into a girl, maybe vice versa. And he, like, grows up and has to move away, and then he, like, convinces himself, like, oh, that wasn't real. It was me playing pretend, and then he comes back at some point. He's like, oh, it's real, and now we have to help each other out or something. But basically, we're making Ponyo. We're making, oh my gosh, more enemies. We're making the live-action Ponyo movie, but we haven't seen Ponyo. That's what I like to see.
Okay.
Like every video game movie of all time. It's like, we need you to make God of War the movie. I haven't played a single God of War game. It's supposed to be about Ares. I'm going to assume it's about Ares. Okay, but we're making Ponyo. It's all live action. The one CG character is like a fish. Oh my gosh, I hate myself right now. I thought this was funny and now I want to die. Because, like, when you do it to yourself, it's hilarious. And you're like, oh, this is fun because it's bad. But you can stop whenever you want. But now that I have a microphone in front of me, it's like my boss has just told me, Eric, make the live-action Ponyo movie in an hour. And, you know, I know it's going to be bad. I'm going to go out there with a pitch and everyone's going to boo and hiss at me. And I'm... Oh, goodness. But anyway...
This is why I'm not driving.
It's 12 minutes and we have just decided what we're doing. Oh, I hate this. Okay. So, a movie built entirely on the premise of a live action
magical fish.
With a magical CG, specifically a CG fish. Okay, so
can the fish come out of the water? Does the fish come out of the water?
I'm thinking, yeah, because this is Ponyo.
Yeah.
Okay, this is basically, we're going to make what we think Ponyo kind of is. Also, what we want Ponyo to be. So when we watch Ponyo, no matter how good or bad it is, it's going to be different from what we have conjured up, and we're going to be like, it could have been better, it could have been ours. So the moral of the story, we're going to make it like environmentalism.
Of course.
But not preachy. So, you know, when... and the difference there is someone is doing some awful... I'm okay with cursing. Someone is doing some awful shit.
Right.
And
I feel like overfishing is the way to go here. Overfishing is sort of the obvious tank.
Yeah, and like the goddess of the ocean. So that's like explaining, you know, explaining it away with some magic that like that's why the fish can turn into a person.
This is exactly like Ponyo is in my head.
Okay. So, overfishing...
Overfishing. So...
is kind of the problem. Yeah, okay. Right, okay.
So, a boy moves to a seaside town, and he's lonely, and he finds a fish person who is a fish.
Yes. Okay.
The magic CGI fish friend.
I like this. A boy moves to, like, a very small seaside town. What era is it? Is it just present time, present day, in your mind?
It's... No, you know, I was thinking, like, anachronistic mid-20th century. That's just sort of where I always am.
You threw a number at me. Mid-20th century, is that like 50s?
Yeah, it's like late 40s, mid-40s through mid-60s, somewhere in there.
Okay, I'm digging that, because I don't know when overfishing, like, started to become a problem, but I would have guessed, like, late Industrial Revolution.
Yeah.
Which was when? That's like 20s to
like... Industrial Revolution starts in the 1800s. See, this is why we should actually learn history. I have like a philosopher's understanding of history. I'm like, this was happening around then.
No, yeah, because I want it to have sort of a Lord of the Rings vibe in that tree's good, machine's bad.
Yeah.
You know, okay. And without someone going like, none of this would have happened if we hadn't found coal, you know? It's more like fantastical, Dr. Seuss-esque almost, in that a boy moves to this, like, port town, and we don't get really an explanation explicitly why, and it turns out later his dad lost his job, you know, making canoes out of, by hand or something, and then it was because his dad lost his job doing that there, so he moved to this port town where he could still be useful, but the reason he lost his job in the first place is because... Who is that guy in the Sneetches, the star-bellied Sneetches?
I forget his name.
The factory? Yeah, but, you know, Mr. Industrial.
Every fucking idea we have eventually becomes the star-bellied Sneetches.
I know! Oh my gosh, I came up with the best diss ever. You star-bellied Sneetch-ass motherfucker. And they didn't get it at all, and I was like, yeah, whatever.
I had a student write a paper about that book. Comparing it to, like, I don't remember, just, like, conformity in general, and comparing it to a Mark Twain essay.
Oh, gosh.
I'd love, that's, I got somebody quoting stars upon bars in an academic paper.
Oh, gosh.
And, like, I never wanted a son until then.
The Watchmen comic, at the end of, you read it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the tiger in Symmetry. Bit was at the end of one of the issues. I thought that was really cool. But we're getting off track. So
the tiger does not have a star upon bar.
Symmetry.
Belly. Symmetry.
Belli. Symmetry and belly would have rhymed a little.
Slightly better.
Anyway. So Mr. Canoe brings his wife and only son, right now he's an only child until we decide otherwise, to this port town, really small, sort of Venice, Italy vibes.
Okay, or know? Venice, California. Okay, fine, we're vaguely Europe.
Yeah, Italy.
But everyone's American.
Yes, we're back. And we're back to that. So, Mr. Canoe brings his wife and only child to this small port town kind of place, Italy vibes.
Mm-hmm.
And the boy makes... maybe he's a loner, maybe he's just average normal, maybe he's got some sort of problem. We can decide that later. But the point is, he makes a friend out of a fish. This kid, like, you know, first seen in Lilo and Stitch. Lilo is, you know...
Friends with Pudge the fish.
Exactly. That kind of stuff. He has that sort of, like, fascination with the ocean and ocean life.
Yep.
And he's vibing. And then he meets a fish, or maybe a mermaid, maybe whatever. But the point is, that is, like, the goddess of the ocean. And she... Yeah, okay, this is pretty good. The first half of the movie... I love using the midpoint of a movie as a twist to, like, change the... either change your perspective or just straight up change the villain.
Why can't you commit to making a bad idea?
The CG fish movie is turning into fucking Lilo and Stitch meets Studio Ghibli. I'm having a great time. So the midpoint is the first half, the boy meets the goddess of the seas, and then she's like, yo, I hate people. And she's like, they destroy everything, but like, I can manage it, I can heal, so that's why I haven't, like, full-on waged war. But then the boy swimming around, she's like, this guy digs the ocean, we vibing. And then the first half is the boy, like, convincing her, like, people are pretty great, and, you know, like, look, my dad makes canoes. She's like, he found that tree, and he's like, well, yeah, but, like, look. And then, like, he, like, plants more, and he's like, oh, okay, sustainability is where it's at, though. And then the
Who said that?
This is why I have to produce. I can't direct, because I would be like, cut, okay, that was great. Your vibe. there's like, all right, now let me get a shot of you crying over your, like, dead mom in the tub. Oh, that's so good. Dab. You
know, how do you do that? How do you make me think you really feel it?
Yeah. But anyway, the midpoint of We need to come up with a title. Let's think of a title for this bad mother...
The Young movie. Man and the Sea. The Old Fish in the Port Town.
The Young Man and the Sea.
The teenage boy wants to do stuff with that fish.
No, he doesn't.
Okay, he doesn't.
Take that back.
Okay, I take it back.
Thank you.
It's just a title. We're just spitballing here.
But the midpoint is Mr. Industrial comes through and then starts overfishing. And then the third quarter of the movie is El Dorado style friends fighting Goddess of the Ocean and the boy. Goddess of the Ocean is like, I'm going to kill all humans. And then he's like, no, we really connected there. Please don't do that. And then that third quarter is them bickering and then him convincing her, like, people aren't the problem. It's this guy. It's the white man from John Henry.
Yeah.
The Disney short.
Who is clearly Satan, if you watch that.
It's Mr. Industrial. You know? And that way we can get... That way, that is not something anybody can disagree with. Like, if you say, like, no, the capitalist was right in this situation, you're a bitch. You know? It's like, hey, capitalism can be great, but this movie... You know?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. But anyway.
So, Mr. Industrialist Mustache, what's his deal, though? What kind of villain is he? Is he evil, or is he misguided?
I think he should be... Uh-oh, I'm about to get a little political.
Oh no, political. A little political.
He's not straight up misguided. It's just that, you know, the same reason... This is getting really real. The same reason, like, I'm okay with buying clothes made in China. Because I've never seen that shit. I've never been inside of a sweatshop.
Yeah.
You know? Like, and I'm sure if I ever set foot in one, I will never buy any of that shit again. I'll never buy Nikes again.
So it's this guy who's like, and my father, way back in the day, he stepped a fishing boat. My great-grandfather was a fisherman, and my grandfather owned a fishery, and my father did this, and now I own the biggest fisher ever. And it's like, it's the ocean. It's fucking bottomless.
Yeah.
Chill out, man. There's more fish.
Exactly. It's, he's not straight up misguided in that, like, he's being manipulated or like, oh no, I didn't know. It's that he just doesn't see the impact of his actions. And that's what's going on. The ocean goddess is like, let me murk that guy. And then main character, I want to say Luca, because I'm pretty sure Disney's making a movie right now about like a mermaid people, and that's called... Is it called Luca? I'm just going to call the main character Luca.
Luca.
Even if it's not. Oh. Even if that's wrong. Main character's Luka Doncic. I don't know why.
All right.
Mavs are going off in the playoffs. Anyway.
Right.
Beat the Clippers. It was dope.
All right. So, I feel like this sets up an opportunity to bring stuff that happens early on back later in the film. Is that like, if you swim with the goddess of the ocean, you can breathe underwater and she can take you to untold depths and see the glories, what needs to happen is that she needs to show the industrialist the error of his ways by showing him the depths of the ocean and how much harm his activities are doing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the thing is, it's up to, you know, okay, so you think that Luca's like, Goddess of the Sea's too soft, Luca's too, no, Goddess of the Sea's too hard, Luca's too soft. She's like, I want to ice him, and Luca's like, no, just let him do it. The ocean is pretty big. And then it comes back, you said from the beginning it comes back, but what I thought you were getting at was Mr. Industrial was the one who, drove Mr. Canoe out of business.
I do like that.
So when it comes back, Luca is like, yeah, okay, we can just run away. And then his parents are like, yeah, we can just run away again. And he's like, what do you mean again? And they're like, Mr. Industrial is the one who, like, put your father out of business. And then he's like, what? No. I want to ice that motherfucker. and then it comes back to, oh, wait, we are doing the same thing as him. Instead of solving the problem, we're just scaling up the Band-Aid solution.
Okay, now what I want is for somebody to... Okay, hang on. Finish that thought, because I like that shit.
Then he has that realization. Oh, we have to solve the problem. but let's not go as the extreme as icing him at that, you know, the, and then he goes back to the goddess and then they like show him and then this has become a very
I like this. No, but I like this. It's there are parallels between like this conception of the, you know, like the market and the natural world is that like some people have this conception of it's like, well, they've big business has found its way here, but I can just move along. But there's not it. And it's like, well, we've fished this place into a fucking wasteland, but we can just move along. But there's not like a limit there. It's not limitless. It only seems boundless because there's way more than you need. And eventually if you go at it as hard as you can forever, eventually, you're gonna run out.
Right.
Or it's not Mars. Bottomless. There's no fish on Mars.
There's nothing on Mars.
We could plant trees there, probably. And you know what? We're still gonna need fucking trees if we want to do that.
Goodness, we got a little not preachy but political this episode. Maybe we did get a little preachy.
I don't think it's political anymore to be concerned that the Earth is dying rapidly.
I mean, yeah, it's just, I'm just gonna go off on a tangent. I was worried about you know, wasting time, but we gotta whatever. This is what makes the podcast fun.
Yeah,
is
they don't want us to just talk about the story for an hour.
The story, which we are calling Luca. I'm going to Google. I have to remember to Google. Here, I'm Googling Luca right now to see if Luca Disney. Okay, we'll have to come up with a new. Yeah, it's called Luca.
Damn.
So we'll have to come up with a new title.
Bluca.
What was I talking about? Oh yeah, it blows my mind that we think going to Mars is going to be less work than fixing Earth. You know?
Yeah.
People are like, oh well, you know, this is not the actual train of thought people have consciously, but subconsciously, it's we just use up Earth, move on. You know, it's, and then they get in the idea in their head, like, growth is progress, period. Mm. Oh my goodness, but, I mean,
don't tell Elon how to get back.
There he goes.
There he goes. It was problem like, fucking solved.
It was a collective secret, just like, Alright, so we were all joking, right? Like, no one's going to Mars.
When he's gone.
Once he's gone.
We move the planet.
Oh my gosh. Ah, that's good.
We're going to sneak it into Venus's orbit. Yeah, it'll be hot.
It'll be a little hot. Oh, that's good.
Okay. So, this idea, Eric, you ruined my attempts to make something bad. And one day I'll get you.
I was really vibing with the CG fish.
The CG fish.
Now it's animated again, though.
I know. It's. I don't know at what point we both agreed without talking that it is most definitely a fully animated great project.
Yeah.
But that happened somewhere around minute 30.
Somewhere between. Oh, I mean, we're just reaching minute. We're on minute 28 right now.
Oh.
Yeah, we're not even halfway through.
Really?
Our allotted time. But I think somewhere between Studio Ghibli and Lilo and Stitch.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
Well, we started with Studio Ghibli, right? We started... Okay, that's not important right now.
But we kind of made Spice and Wolf. If we made it boring, it would be a lot more like Spice
and Wolf. That's another episode. Is a less boring Spice and Wolf.
Oh, damn. I mean...
Eh, you want to just do that next?
Yeah, let's do that. Okay. It's not really. I don't know how to break it down. Five act structure for what we're calling Luca. What's like fish in Italian?
Pez.
Just Pez?
Yeah, actually, it's pretty close to our name.
How about Pascal? Pedro Pascal. Well, Pescal. That's the kid's name now. Pescal.
Pescal. Alright, Italian for fish.
Yeah, I remember being in fourth grade, and Mrs. Ignani said, like, oh, everybody's last name kind of means something, and then I was like, what about Pecci? And she was like, oh, fish. And I was like,
I don't know.
Dad! I was hoping for, like, the wolf
It's
of the night or something.
Pesce? Pesci? Pesce? P-E-S-C-E. I don't know how to... Oh!
Fish.
No.
Pesce.
Pesce.
Awesome. Pesce?
Pesce.
How about his name is Pecci?
Yeah.
Yo! That would be great. His name is Pesce. And the kid's name is Pesce, and the Mr. Industrial is, maybe he could be Irish, and he calls him Pecci. He's like, oh, it's nice to meet you, Pecci.
You know,
like,
we're not Irish, right? We're part, our name is...
No, I know.
Okay.
We're, wait, were you about to say Scandinavian?
No, it's Austrian.
Yeah, I knew we were Austrian.
Like, Germanic, Irish. I don't know if it's specifically Austrian. Like, this, the rest of the episode will be an Ancestry podcast.
It's just total silence, and everyone, and we're on our phones, and every once in a while you hear, oh, okay, cool.
Oh, look at that.
That's cool. Yeah. Okay, so Pesce. So, okay. Act one.
It's gonna fly in every country except Italy. We're gonna be like fucking morons.
Okay. How about Pescal?
I don't care. I don't care about those Italians. I don't care how they feel about this name. We can change it when we take it to Italy.
Okay.
I like Pesce.
Pesce. Okay, we've got... Okay, Pesce... the Pesce family, oh no.
The Pesce family moves
to, like, the coastal Italian town.
And they go, hey, I want to make a canoe.
I want to make a canoe. Oh my goodness.
I might be in bad taste, I'm not sure.
Who cares? We're Americans. We can do whatever we want. Infinite growth. So the Pesce family, Pesce's family moves to this Italian coast town, and it's left ambiguous why. He has a great time making friends, and he's like, finally I live on a, you know, on the coast, so I can chill in the ocean all the time. And he, like, makes friends. He's not the, like, the loner type, you know.
But he loves the ocean more.
But, yeah, everybody's like, oh gosh, spends way too much time on the water, that kid. And, like,
it's just like that kid in Free. And that other kid in Free, the anime. I don't know
what Free is.
It's an anime about swimming.
Swimming?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the gayest thing I've ever seen. If you like gay stuff, totally check out Free.
Is that one of the kids has, like, sharp teeth, right?
Yeah. It's weird.
Is he a shark?
Yes, I think that's the idea.
Is that his vibe? Okay.
Yeah.
Gay shark. Cool. Yeah. It's about time. So
representation matters.
So, the Pesce.
I don't know. Jack Black was kind of a gay shark in Shark Tale, right?
Yeah.
But that was more coded.
Yeah.
And this felt way gayer.
Word.
Okay.
So Pesce moves with his family to this Italian coastal town. He spends a lot of time in the water. Act one, maybe he, like, there's no sort of call to action, so I'm a little worried because everything I've had ideas for has had a template that I've followed, and it, you know, so I know, like, if I were to hire a screenwriter to make the idea, I wouldn't, like, they wouldn't come back at me and say, like, I can't do this. It would just be, like, a matter of time instead. But this doesn't have any sort of structure I'm familiar with, so who cares?
Well, the call to action, there is a fish goddess that comes out of the water. I mean, I feel like you can find a call to action out of that. Okay. Oh, hang on. I've got it. The boy does something that is offensive to the fish goddess.
Okay.
I don't know. I feel like there's something... You could do a very normal, childish thing that would offend a fish goddess. You can't see, but I'm waving my hand to the side. Yeah.
Like he's chilling, eating something... And then he throws what is most definitely biodegradable into the water.
Yeah.
But, like, fish can't digest that.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Okay, yeah. I like that, yeah. And there's a little bit of lead up. It's like, hey, this magic fish deity in a town, and let's move on with that. That's not gonna come back. And he throws it because he loves the ocean. And he's at the ocean, he's like, ah, yes, the ocean, the lake of the sea. throws his biodegradable Doritos bag that's poisoned to fish.
No, I mean, like, he's just eating a sandwich, and he's like, oh, I'm done with this. And he throws, like, the white bread and processed everything into the water. And then I'm imagining a little Disney fun thing where he, like, throws it, and he, like, dusts his hands, and he turns around, and, like, binks him in the back of the head, and he's like, and he throws it again, and it's thrown back, and then...
And now, this is like a soggy-ass piece of bread, so it's not pleasant to get hit with. And then he says something rude to the ocean.
But, yeah, and like this act one, now I'm thinking in terms of five acts, but I guess that's all right. Act one ends with, like, the goddess of the ocean. I'm thinking, for some reason, I'm thinking Atlantis for act structure, because you think that, like, the entire movie takes place in Atlantis, but they don't get there for, like, 30 minutes.
Yeah, that's true.
So maybe...
So, I mean, I don't know, that kind of works, and it's, act two is them butting heads and coming to this respect and understanding of each other, because she shows him, it's like, it's not enough to love the ocean, you have to take care of it or it's gonna fuck you up. And then he's like, it's like, but he does, my father does take care of the world, he plants more trees than he cuts down for his sweet ass canoes, and yeah. He's a small business with his small business goodness.
And then we can have, like, a, the Little Mermaid type, like, you know, being out of your element, you know, the whole, like, being fascinated with things that everyday people think are mundane.
Mm-hmm.
He takes her into town, basically, yes. And he's like, look, people are good.
Yeah, and this is the only, and she only likes him because he is fascinated by the things that most humans have not had any respect for. He's like, whoa, look at this coral. What's this coral eat? How do I take care of it? Can I do this? Can you do that? What's that? Oh, look, a sea slug. That's gross. I love him.
Word. That kind of cool stuff.
Yes.
And then the midpoint is Mr. Industrial.
Mr. Industrial. With his mustache.
Yeah.
And
he,
bowler hat.
He, like, starts...
You saw the bowler hat and the mustache.
Yeah, and, like, in this between this early act two, so it doesn't feel so rushed, she talks about, like, she just, like, complains that there's too many fish or whatever in some spot, and then he's like, yo, we got some fishermen who can might help you out with that. She's like, oh, okay, cool. And then, you know, that's them vibing. And then the midpoint is Mr. Industrial, like, catches wind. He's like, oh, there's a thick vein of fish somewhere. I can capitalize on that. Entrepreneurship.
I'm a fish man.
This is my son, H.W. And then H.W. They, you know, and then he comes by, and then he, Pesce's like, no, wait, hear him out, and she's like, I don't like him, he's greasy, and then...
And oil and water, and they don't mix.
And then he's like, oh my gosh, and then he said, and then Pesce's like, hear him out, Mr. Industrial goes by, and then he's like, you know, overfishes... And then distributes it to the whole town. And then everybody knows what's actually going on except Pesce. And he's like, this is great. Everything is in, like, equilibrium and balance. Mm-hmm. Great. And then she's like, okay, I'll vibe. And then, you know, Pesce, like, spends the day with her, goes back to town, and, like, Mr. Industrial's still there. And he's like, oh, I thought y'all would go home. And he's like, it's a business. We're staying. We're going to do this every day. And he's like, oh, fuck. And then act four. This movie's really short, though.
Right, it's now, animated.
Yeah. But
the animators love that.
Like, it's only like 60, 70 minutes in my mind right now. But he's like, oh, crap. And then, you know, that happens. And then he, like, tries to... And then that's them, and she's like, ice that mother. And he's like, no, here. No.
Well, I mean, also, I feel like there's an emotional moment that you're not quite capitalizing on, is that she is enraged with Pesce.
Right. Not
because, like, she sees this as his fault.
Word.
Like, I shouldn't have trusted you, I shouldn't have trusted humans.
Yeah.
And now I'm going to ice him, and I'm going to make sure, and I'm going to take away, I'm going to run away from this place and make sure that that town dries up and dies and all the humans get far away from me.
Word. I dig it. And then the finale is, you know, between Act 4 and 5 is Darkest Hour. He's like, okay, L, I guess we'll just move away and I'm going to lose my big fish friend. That sucks. And then his parents are like, yeah, the Mr. Industrial got us again. And he's like, what do you mean again? And he's like, oh my gosh, we're part of the problem. I gotta fix it. And then he, like, goes to the ocean, and he just yells at the water. And he's like, I'm gonna fix this with or without you. And she was listening. She just didn't let him know. And then he, like, goes to Mr. Industrial, and he's like, no, you have to believe me. And he's like, no, I'm not gonna believe you. Fantastical claims require fantastical evidence. And then the water slurps him up. It's like, oh! And then they show him. And
show
then
him the
and
wonders then of he, the ocean and the damage he hath wrought.
Yes, and then
because wrought is a good word.
It is. And then Mr. Industrial has to, like, sabotage his own business. And then you get into the idea of, like, well, he did owe people a responsibility, but, like, he's rich enough that he can just pay them out of pocket.
Yeah.
So, and then he, maybe he, like, and then his ego, he becomes much more like a humble business investor.
Yes.
On this coastal town.
Hmm.
Oh, this is already great.
Yep. Yeah.
And he opens a sushi restaurant. I don't know.
I don't know.
This is great.
The tavern, he helps. He goes into business with Mr. Pesce, and they build slightly larger boats for slightly larger crews, so people can have jobs and do fishing in a responsible manner. And they say, it's like, well, that area is a bit overfished. We should look for higher population areas to move on to for the next couple of seasons.
Indeed.
And there's a map. There's a big map, and they're drawing lines on it and Xing out spots and circling other spots.
Love a good map.
I'm the vibe guy.
Gosh. Okay. I'm gonna. Okay. The end.
The end.
Yes.
Thanks for listening to this episode of StoryTap. If you enjoyed, make sure to leave a review on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. It helps a ton. Also, make sure to check out the podcast Story Break by Rocket Jump. It's basically what you just listened to, but more professional. And thanks again.